Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It kind of fits with the last phrase of that song we just sang. We know that Christ is coming back again, and yet we also know that there's so much work to be done before that happens. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit be with you today. Amen. There's so much work to be done. Yesterday, I tried to do a little bit of yard work outside in the afternoon. I know some of you did and probably shouldn't have. Boy, the humidity was incredible and the heat was even worse. And then yet someone this morning reminded me 6 months ago we had 55 degree below wind chill. What would you prefer? Well, you know, it's by the grace of God that we live and we just step forward in life each day, isn't it? We have plans and we try to make decisions and, we want to be everything we can be for Jesus. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, I don't think there's anyone here this morning that would say, you know what? I really don't want to be everything I can be for Jesus. I want to do that some of the time. I think everyone here, every Christian in their heart of hearts wants to follow Jesus and to do what is right in His sight. Amen? Amen. We don't want to do that. But things get in the way. And this morning, by God's grace, we're going to look at this ninth chapter, the gospel reading from Luke today, and get a little focus for ourselves on what it means to have good intentions and to take a look at what gets in the way and finally realize, as we all do, it's only by God's grace that we step forward in life. Back in 1963, do any of you remember that year? Wow, I graduated from high school in 1962. That was a great year. But in 1963, there was a pop song, and the chorus line or the theme was, "Easier, easier said than done." How many of you know it? Raise your hand. Oh my goodness. You know, does that date me or what? Okay. Anyway, it was the number one song for a number of weeks. Easier said than done. When I read this gospel today from Luke chapter 9, the cost of following Jesus, you know what I said to myself? Easier said than done. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we have to say that too. But before we get into the spiritual impact of this word today on our Christian growth in life, just take a moment in your own heart, just for a few moments. I wish I had one of these microphones, Carl, that I could, you know, go out and ask people questions, but we don't have time for that. But just think of it this way. What are things in your life that you would like to accomplish? Maybe there are goals you've set. Maybe there's something you like to see changed. And then add, easier said than done. I want to lose 15 pounds in the next 2 months. That's a lofty goal. It's achievable, but easier said than done. I'm going to develop a personal time with my family. I'm going to set aside so many hours every day to be with my children and establish a relationship with them. They'll never end. Easier said than done. I would like to see a cure for cancer. Easier said than done. You know, you can move from kind of the innocent to the important. And yet we realize we have no control over making things happen. We have limited control. So many things in life are easier said than done. I'm going to read one chapter of the Bible every day. Maybe you've started out on that journey. Easier said than done. I'm going to pray every night before I fall asleep. Easier said than done, because I'll tell you, in my own personal life, man, I start and I fall asleep. But you know what? I take confidence in that, just because I know that God knows my heart anyway. But so many things in life are easier said than done. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship. Easier said than done. Really, Jesus lays down his uncompromising conditions for discipleship. And we must look this morning, realistically, at our own map of failures. Our journey full of broken promises and commitments. And I have my hand up. And I know you have your hand up too. Jesus calls us to be his disciples, to grow, in other words, in our faith, in our life, to be his witnesses, to let our light shine. And so often, doesn't happen, does it? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, right? Confessed our sins this morning. I mean, we do it, we recognize that we're not what we should be, and yet we have good intentions. Good intentions, yet things get in the way, and finally it's by God's grace alone. Let's look at those three points this morning. Good intentions. Good intentions. In Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Yes! Remember the day of your confirmation? Maybe? I mean, I'm not talking about your baptism, because probably you were an infant then. But on the day of your confirmation, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you wherever I go." Wherever you go, I will go. Has that been the case? Have we always stayed on the path that God has laid out before us? Have we always consulted his will and his way? No. The best point from A to B is a straight line, right? It's the walk of life. It's in Jesus' name. And yet we choose so many other paths, don't we? The man had good intentions. "Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go." And then Jesus says to him, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Whoa. In other words, are you ready for the ride? Because it is a ride when God gets a hold of you in your life, as he did in your baptism, as he claimed you as your own. Look out, it's a ride. God has places for you to go and people for you to meet and things for you to accomplish. Hallelujah! I'm ready. But what happens? We don't accomplish all that we would want to. This man didn't recognize. He didn't realize, hey, this ride that God has put you on, this journey that he's placed you on, this path that you're traveling, you don't have time to sit back and say, "Lord, well, it's been good today, but I got things to do tomorrow." No time to rest, really. Our spiritual rest is in Jesus, ever and always. And then Jesus said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Well, you might read that and say, "Gee, should be able to do that, shouldn't you?" Jesus is not saying here that we shouldn't be attentive to the physical needs and the needs of death for our Christian brothers and sisters. But what he is saying, focus on me. Instead of saying, Lord, where is it? Send me, lead me. Lord, wait a minute, I got something else in mind here. I got some other things in front of me. Who's really in front of us? God is. He's in front of us. He's opening the doors. He's making the way. And when he says, follow me, boy, need to be ready. And then still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. In other words, as though following you means I got to give up my family? No. Again, things being in the way, taking priority. How about seeing Jesus in your family? How about knowing that God's going to take care of things in your life? I need to know that for myself, because here again, I think I'm in control. So many times, I'm in control. God, I've got this. That's what we say. God, I've got this. I don't have it. I'm not capable of having it. Boy, I'm a poor, miserable, wretched sinner. Come on, right? Amen? Amen? There's nothing I can do on my own. That's what Jesus was getting at here, by the way. He was asking us, all of us, to take a look at ourselves. And when we make a vow, we make a commitment, it can't rest purely on our own ability to keep it. We're poor, miserable sinners. Amen. That's the sermon for today. No, wait a minute. We don't stop there. That'd be pretty sad, wouldn't it? There'd be no hope. There'd be no help. I need to recognize for myself that my good intentions, they just don't get it done. I'm sure Pastor Eckhoff and myself, I've said this to myself many times. I don't know why. I'm not picking on you this morning. I'm just looking over there. I've said this to myself. I think I could write a book entitled Good Intentions. I can't tell you how many times I have visited people in the hospital. Pastor, man, when I get over this, I'm back to church 100% of the time. Wow. You know what I say to them? Or said to them? Let's don't get really excited here. Let's take it one step at a time. One step at a time, sweet Jesus, right? One step at a time. Life is a journey. To grow in the grace of God. What or who gets in the way? Good intentions for sure, but what or who? I added who because you know the who is? The who is me. Things get in the way of our spiritual growth in life. Sure they do. Temptations, right? Just around every bend. By the way, if you have never been tempted in your life, pinch yourself. I want to make sure you're still alive. Because you know we all have been. And we still are. We're tempted every day. I mean, you know, you wake up in the morning and say, this is a day the Lord has made. I'm so thankful. I'm so excited, Lord, to serve you. And then you look back over the day and say, man, what happened? I'm not where I want to be. That door opened. God opened a door for me. That person said, well, what that person said gave me an entrance to talk about the hope that I have. And I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. And then this person, I could see this person had some great needs. I didn't have time. I don't have time to talk to everybody. Yes, things get in the way. But primarily, we get in the way. We get in the way with our self-centered selfishness. Our eyes that are blinded, we don't open them, we don't see the hand of God. I mean, it's right there in front of us. God's hand is right there. And by the way, that's why we need other Christians, isn't it? They can help us, can't they? Did you know that I think God was telling you something? I think God was showing you something. Let's pray about this. Things get in the way of our good intentions, but most importantly, we do. Yes, we want to be everything we can be for God. That's our heart of hearts desire. It's that Spirit of God within us prompting us to grow up more and more in Jesus. It's those fruits of the Spirit that was mentioned this morning in the text. Love, joy, faithfulness, self-control. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I know you could sing that this morning too, because I know you do. We all do. But how do we follow Him? How do we stay on this journey? How do we stay on track? Well, first of all, we're not going to belabor the past, are we? We don't live in the past. The psalmist makes that pretty clear. This is a day the Lord has made for you. And I think we need to underscore Lord, because you know what? God has made this day for you. And this is the first day of the rest of your life. In other words, it's a new beginning. God forgives us our sins as far as the east is from the west. I mean, God isn't the one who belabors our sin and you know, just kind of remembers it and plays on it and reminds us of it. No, that's somebody else. That's Satan. It's not God. God loves us with an everlasting love. We know it's only by His grace that we follow. Good intentions, things get in the way, but it's only by God's grace that we follow. It's only by God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus' life on earth ended at the cross for you and me. Forgiveness of sins. Wow. We get in the way. We like to think back. We like to compare. We like to judge. But God's gift of love in Jesus is always there forever. I knew a gentleman a number of years ago in the parish I served, actually here in Peoria. He fought in World War II. He's now in heaven. He was in the Army. He was in the Battle of the Bulge. Some of you remember the Battle of the Bulge. Or heard about it, I should say. Every time we get together, just informally or in passing, he would take me aside and say, "Pastor, I just can't get rid of this in my life. I had to kill 6 German soldiers. It was a machine gun nest, and they were mowing down my buddies, and I had to go around, circle around, hit them down, and I had to shoot them. And I just can't get it out of my system. I know that God forgives me because I'm sorry for that sin, but I know war is what it is, and yet I still keep getting in the way." Maybe you are dealing with something like that in your life. Not war-like example, but something that you're having a hard time getting over. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," boy, I tell you what, He meant it. I paid the price for the sin of the whole world. Hallelujah. And I've conquered the last great enemy. On the third day, what? He rose again. Death. Death has no power over us. Our new life, our ability to serve Jesus and grow in the grace of God. it's all of what Jesus has done. Our life really begins there, doesn't it? Where Jesus' life ended on the cross, our life really began. Always moving forward. Always growing in the fullness and the stature of Jesus. That sounds like a Bible verse from Philippians, doesn't it? Growing in the fullness and the stature of Jesus. Growing, growing. Going and growing and growing, you know? We call that our sanctified life, our set apart life, our life of, you know, to which God has called us by the power of His Spirit. And it's always moving forward, by the way, and it's always moving upward. Even though sometimes this is what your life looks like, okay? Up, level off, maybe a setback or two, but yet moving forward. Kind of erratic, huh? Well, that's my life. But it's like that. Living in a fallen world. Paul described our life as a race. Peter talked about a pilgrimage. You know, in the early Christian church, early Christians, were identified as followers of the way. What way? The way of discipleship, the way of Jesus, the way of growing. Easier said than done. For me, relying on myself, but by the grace of God, one step at a time, growing in the fullness of Jesus. Is that something to thank God about? Amen. It is something to rely on and depend on. Looking to Jesus. We say in the liturgy, our help is in the name of the Lord. Wow! Every day. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. Go with God, new and forgiven people. Easier said than done. With Jesus, it is done. God grant it for His sake. And our great good for the work in His kingdom. Amen. And all God's people said. Amen. Oh, we got to say that louder. And all God's people said. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. In front of you is a white card, if you would take that out, please. If you're visiting with us here today, we're very happy to have you in our midst. That you come back and visit us soon. If you desire a little bit more information about Christ Lutheran, you can inquire about it there on the card. Please turn it over, and we'll confess and pray together to call the Christian Fellowship on the back. Dear Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Christian Fellowship to worship you. We have confessed our sins, and we thank you for your forgiveness. We've sung praises to you and listened to your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families, filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as you love us. By our words and actions, make us your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll gather our gifts to the Savior this morning. As we take Holy Communion, we will be doing so in a continuous line. Please keep that in mind.